Father, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to be present here. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the snow on the mountains, the reminder of your pure and perfect righteousness that you desire to give each one of us as a gift. And we pray that as we open the sacred pages of Scripture, that you would open our hearts and minds and place in each of our hearts a deeper picture of your character of love. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. Today's message is entitled "The Highest Science, Vaccination, and COVID-19. The Highest Science, Vaccination, and COVID-19. I have some bad news, Advent Hope. The samples have been examined and the results are conclusive. You and I each have been tested 100% positive. And the infection will be fatal unless drastic measures are taken. You see, there's a cure to this deadly virus, but we must act immediately. A vaccination has been made available and it must be injected right away. Some believe that their personal resources can inoculate them to this deadly disease, but there is only one cure. My friends, this dangerous, detrimental, and deleterious disease is none other than the virus of sin. And this contagious virus is not airborne, but heartborne. And sadly, the infection rate is 100% for all humanity. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short. This virus is fatal. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But there's some good news. The good news is that a vaccination has been made available. And this gospel cure is administered by none other than the great physician, Jesus Christ. His death on Calvary's tree can provide immunity to the problem of sin. He took that shot for us. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought me peace was upon Him. And by His wounds, the Bible says, we are healed. And the greatest news of all is that we don't have to wait for this gospel cure. It is available in abundant supply right now, not in a few months, but today, to all ages, young and old, to all nationalities, to all skin colors, to all tribes, tongues, and people. You and I can appropriate the benefits of Christ's healing righteousness today. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, as we study the life of this great healthcare worker and physician named Jesus. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, the Bible says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Jesus was a healer. Notice verse 36. "But when Jesus saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd." Friends, I believe that verse 36 accurately describes Jesus' view of our world today. He sees the crowds and multitudes. He sees those that are rioting the Capitol. He sees the crowds and multitudes and He's moved with compassion because they're all confused. They're weary and tired from life. 2020 beat them over the head with a big stick and they're tired. They're tired from what 2020 brought. Just yesterday I did a funeral for a precious lady named Carmen who sadly and tragically passed away from COVID. She was in her late 50s. She cut hair right here in San Bernardino. Everyone loved her. At her funeral yesterday afternoon, people shared stories of how Carmen was a second mother to them. She passed away just about a month ago. About 6 months ago, I did an anointing here at Loma Linda for a physician who ended up tragically passing away from COVID. He was in his early 70s, still practicing medicine, thought that he had many years ahead of him, and COVID took his life. One of my church members' two sisters, just this last week, a younger sister and an older sister, both passed away just a few days ago. People are sick and weary and tired. They're scattered. 2020 provided a lot to worry about. In one survey of 1,008 people, young adults aged 18 to 35, 80% of participants reported significant depressive symptoms during the pandemic. Roughly 65% of study participants recorded increased feelings of loneliness during COVID. And the interesting thing of those studies that were done, 58% said they increased the amount of alcohol they drank, and 56% increased their use of drugs. Friends, people are using the wrong vaccination. They're so tired and scattered that instead of going to the great physician for his healing balm, they're escaping to the enemy's concoctions. And a lot of people don't know. You can't blame them. They're weary and tired. They're scattered, confused. They don't have a shepherd. And the question is, what can we do to help? Look back there in Matthew chapter 9, and notice the next two verses. Right after verse 36, when Jesus sees the multitudes and he has compassion on them because they're weary and scattered, verse 37 says this, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are what, everyone? Few. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers into the harvest.'" Friends, there are plenty of gospel cures, of vaccinations available, but not enough healthcare workers to administer them. The gospel, the cure, is readily available, but it needs more people who understand it so that they can administer its benefits to those who need it. Notice this quotation from Ministry of Healing, page 398. We're told that the highest of all sciences is the science of soul saving. Wow. The highest of all sciences is the science of soul saving. The greatest work to which human beings can inspire to do is the work of winning men from sin to holiness. The highest of all sciences is not just creating, praise God, a vaccination to help this pandemic that we're in. But the highest of all sciences is the work of leading men to holiness. The greatest work we can ever do, the greatest work we can ever aspire to, she says. Not just becoming successful in our career or fulfilling our bucket list of visiting such and such a country, but the greatest work we can ever aspire to is the work of injecting people with the vaccine of the gospel. And friends, I want you to notice this. That witnessing and evangelism in and of themselves are not the highest of all sciences. There's something else that makes them the highest of all sciences. April 18, 1906, Signs of the Times, Ellen White writes this. She says, "The science of redemption is the science of all sciences. This science, she says, is the study of the angels, of all the intelligences of the unfallen world, the science that engages the attention of our Lord and Savior, the science that enters into the purpose brooded in the mind of the infinite, kept in silence through times eternal, the science that will be the study of God's redeemed people throughout the endless ages." Can someone say, praise God? We're going to be studying the science of redemption for eternity. The science of redemption is the science of all sciences. And so as we study Christ's great cure, as we study the science of redemption, that He offers His perfect righteousness in exchange, the great divine exchange is called, an exchange for our dirty rags and our filthiness. We're so amazed and enthralled, we can't help but administer the benefits of the gospel cure to other people. That is the science of soul saving. And it must be studied. Friends, it must be studied because the gospel cure changes and saves lives. It saved Mitch's life. 2 years ago, in the beginning of 2019, Mitch, in Port Orchard, Washington, walked out of his house with a noose in his pocket and a beer in his hand. He had given up on his life, but God hadn't given up on his life. He was ready to take his life, but Jesus was ready to give his life. And on the way to carry out his plan of ending his life, Mitch's wife caught up to him and convinced him to go to the hospital. While there, Mitch entered a rehabilitation program for his alcoholism and by God's grace became sober. He left that program and just a few weeks later got a knock on the door. "Hi," the person said. "My name is so-and-so and I'm from Revelation of Divine Love and I want to invite you to a program that will teach you how to have victory in your life." Those two young people that showed up on his door had an invitation, a little flyer, a bulletin to a Revelation Bible prophecy program called Revelation of Divine Love that I had the privilege of preaching in Port Orchard, Washington in May of 2019. Mitch ended up attending the entire series, struggled some in the middle, a little bit at the end. We continued to study, and by God's grace, a few months later, he was baptized and as a saved Seventh-day Adventist Christian. The gospel cure changes and saves lives. Andrew, the disciple, realized that the gospel cure saves lives. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, we read about a quiet disciple named Andrew. John chapter 1, we're introduced to Andrew. In the book of Acts, the only time that Andrew is mentioned, the only time in the book of Acts that the disciple Andrew is mentioned is in Acts 1:13 in the group of the rest of the disciples. But in the rest of the book of Acts, Andrew isn't mentioned once. That tells me that Andrew never became a prominent church leader that we know of. Andrew didn't write one of the books of the New Testament like his brother Peter did. He wasn't a Mark Finley or a Doug Batchelor, but I guarantee you that when we get to heaven, we will see the souls that Andrew ministered the gospel cure to. There will be many people in heaven because of Andrew's influence. And the Gospel of John recounts the most amount of stories of Andrew that we have in the entire Gospels. The Gospels don't give us much information about Andrew, and maybe that says something about Andrew's personality. Andrew was a behind-the-scenes guy. He would be back in the kitchen during the church service, helping with potluck rather than up on the platform. Can someone say amen? He would be manning the camera instead of in front of it. He would quietly be on social media posting a video of his brother Peter preaching rather than himself. And because Andrew was a behind-the-scenes guy, the Gospels don't really comment much about his life except for John. John later, looking back in history, reflects on the life of Andrew and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit gives us three inspiring stories that I believe are worthy of our attention and study today. Three stories where Andrew administers the gospel cure. So John chapter 1 and starting there in verse 35. Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. This is John the Baptist. And one of those two disciples is Andrew, we'll find out. And looking at Jesus as he walked, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." John the Baptist recognizes that he was the lesser light leading to the greater light. More of him and less of me, John the Baptist said. Verse 37, the two disciples, of which Andrew was one, heard him speak and they followed Jesus. They recognized that there was one greater than John the Baptist among them. He saw in Jesus something that was attractive. He recognized that Jesus could provide something that no one else could. Jump down to verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. Who was Andrew? Oh yeah, Andrew was Simon Peter's brother. Do you see that in verse 40? Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. I attended Georgia Cumberland Academy Seventh-day Adventist boarding school in northern Georgia. And when I entered in as a lowly freshman, my older brother Daniel, an esteemed junior, had been there for a couple of years. And lo and behold, when little Jeff shows up on campus, guess what he was known as? Who are you, Jeff? Oh, yeah, you're Daniel's brother. I know about being someone's brother. And Andrew is known as Simon Peter's brother. Simon Peter was the loud one, the upfront one, the preacher. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And notice verse 41. It says he first, this is Andrew. Andrew first found his own brother, Simon Peter, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." The very first thing that Andrew does, the very first thing that we read about Andrew in the Gospels, is that he's bringing his flesh and blood to Jesus. Advent Hope, I have a question. Do you have a family member that isn't walking closely with Jesus right now? Do you have a relative that has maybe lost their way, stopped attending church, or doesn't know Christ altogether? And I would encourage you to be like Andrew and send them a text message. Send them a letter in the mail. Send them a Facebook message or an Instagram message or pay them a visit. Prayer is good. Yes, pray for your family, but accompany those words with action, because that's what Andrew does. He doesn't just say, "Hey, I found the Messiah." Look at verse 42. And Andrew brought him to Jesus. He physically takes him by the arm, takes him in the age of COVID by the elbow, and brings him to Jesus. I haven't met this guy. I should say I haven't been with him very long, Andrew says, but you've got to meet him. There's something incredible about him. In April of this last year, we conducted a virtual online Revelation seminar entitled Revelation of Peace for the Mentone Church. We were not sure how it was going to go. I had not tried a whole lot of online evangelism. And the questions that I had would people sign up? And if they did, how would we follow up with them in the world of social distancing and the pandemic? We mailed out 50,000 flyers to the community asking the question, "Lord, will online evangelism work?" Well, speaking of someone named Andrew, there was another Andrew that lived not too far from here, just a little bit that direction in Redlands. His name was Andrew Gonzalez, and Andrew Gonzalez received a flyer in the mailbox. He was going through some challenges in his family. He was in between churches at the time. He was searching and hungry for Bible truth and the gospel cure. He wasn't too excited about this flyer that he received, but last minute, the Holy Spirit touches his heart and he signs up for Revelation of Peace. And Andrew Gonzalez does not miss one night. He responds to all of the appeals, and I've never seen someone more excited in my life about Adventism than Andrew Gonzalez. He was so pumped and excited for what he was learning. And after studying more in depth over the summer, just less than 4 months ago, in October of 2020, Andrew Gonzalez was baptized at the Mentone Seventh-day Adventist Church. But Andrew realized after his baptism that his work had just begun. He realized, like Andrew the disciple, that his family had to hear this message. He couldn't keep it to himself. So Andrew starts spreading the gospel seeds. I preached another Revelation of Peace series for the Arden Hills Church just a couple months ago in November. And Andrew tells his entire family, "Listen, I just went through the series. You've got to hear this. You've got to hear this message," he tells them. He gets three of his family members to sign up, and three of his family members, his niece, his sister-in-law, and his sister, watched the entire series. His niece and sister-in-law have been communicating with a palm reader in Las Vegas, and they told me through Andrew that when they heard the message on State of the Dead, that they were convicted that Jesus has the dead sleeping in the grave and they won't wake up until the resurrection. And they stopped their communication with the palm reader, praise God. Didn't make a decision for baptism, but Teresa, Andrew's sister, flesh and blood sister, that he had been bugging for months, "Teresa, you got to listen to this. Teresa, check this out." Finally, she caves to his persistence and she watches all of Revelation of Peace. We're studying with her right now. She's going to be baptized soon. And Teresa told me this. She, too, was impacted by the Bible truth that she was hearing. And she, too, was impacted by the Bible truth about what happens when you die. And she told me this. She said, "Jeff, for the last 25 years, I've had a huge burden on my back and in my mind. When my mother passed away, I didn't know where she went. Was she in hell? Was she in purgatory? And when I heard that presentation about death, I started weeping, and the biggest burden that I've been carrying for the last 25 years rolled off my back." Praise God that Andrew wanted to share the gospel cure and administer its benefits to his family members. Jesus changes lives, and it all was because Andrew Gonzalez couldn't keep the gospel cure to himself. Well, in John chapter 1, the biblical Andrew, the disciple Andrew, brought his brother to Jesus, but that's not the only one that he brought to Jesus. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Here in John chapter 6, we read the famous story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Jesus calls out a timeout for lunch. He asks his disciples, "Where can bread be brought?" There were no nearby Costco's or other such things. And the disciples, expressed by Philip, were incredulous. "Jesus, how in the world can we feed all these people?" Notice chapter 6 and verse 7. Philip answered Jesus, chapter 6 of John, verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 denarius, 200 days wages. 200 days wages worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. Wow. 365 Back then, 360 days in a year, well over half of the year's wages can't pay for it. It's impossible, Philip says. And while Philip is arguing, Andrew is doing something about it. While Philip is doubting and bickering with Jesus, there's no way, Andrew quietly slips off. And notice verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, who's Andrew, by the way? Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Jesus, verse 9, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Andrew brings someone else to Jesus. We don't know how he finds him. He obviously is bringing this little lad to Jesus because of the food issue. But I can't help but think, as I study the life of Andrew, that Andrew had a twinkle in his eye when he saw a little lad with that lunch and said, "This kid is going to be so excited to see Jesus. Hey, buddy, come here. Do you want to share your lunch with Jesus?" The kid is so excited, his eyes start getting bigger. He doesn't know what to say. He shakes his head, "Yeah, sure." And he brings little lad to Jesus. And little lad, his knees are shaking, looking up there at the Savior. Andrew brings a young person to Jesus. Friends, I want to tell you something, that young people are hungry for Jesus. The reason I know they're hungry for Jesus is because Randy and Chantel are hungry for Jesus. In November, when I did the Revelation of Peace series at the Arden Hills Church, and we mailed out 30,000 flyers to the community of Highland, 2 16-year-old girls named Randy and Chantel received one of those flyers. Chantel actually got one first, and she called up her cousin, Randy, and said, "Hey, we got to watch this series." I noticed on the YouTube live chat each night during my presentations that Randy and Chantel were always there, always involved, always commenting. I didn't really know who they were, didn't know their ages. It's hard to tell from online. But we had a registration system. We were giving out gifts, Bibles, religious books, Steps to Christ, etc. And I made sure that they won one of the first gifts, so I had an excuse to drop one off at their house. Who are these people? And I was so surprised when Chantel came out, and she was a 16-year-old young girl from San Bernardino that was excited about Jesus and learning about Bible truth. And in 2 weeks, friends, mark your calendars, February 13th at 2:30 p.m., Randy and Chantel are going to officially join God's Last Day Movement, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I want to invite you. You actually can come. Come to the Arden Hills Church, 5801 Arden Avenue. 2 weeks, February 13th, day before Valentine's, 2:30 p.m. It'll be outside. We'll have an outdoor baptismal tank. And they say that if someone needs to or wants to stay in the Adventist church after they've joined, that they need at least 8 friends. We have more than 8 people here. That maybe one of you can become Randy and Chantel's friends. Invite you. February 13th. Put it in your calendar. 2:30 p.m. Let's give them a huge Adventist welcome and say this is a place where you can find healing. Young people want Jesus. Andrew brought his brother to Jesus. Andrew brought a young boy to Jesus. And John records Andrew bringing someone else to Jesus in John chapter 12. Turn with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And starting in verse 20. John chapter 12 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Now there were certain Greeks among those who came to worship at the feast." There were certain whom, everyone? Greeks, Gentiles. And the fact that John says that they came to worship but not partake meant they were not converted to Judaism yet. They weren't allowed to partake of Passover. They were non-Jews. They were foreigners. They were outsiders. The Jewish historian Josephus mentions that foreigners would often come to Jerusalem to worship at the Passover feast but not partake. So here are these non-Jew, foreign outsiders. And notice verse 21. It says, "They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and they asked him, saying, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.'" What a beautiful expression of faith. Friends, I believe that there's a world out there that's asking the exact same question. We want to see Jesus. We want to know God. Like Mitch, they're unsatisfied with the things of this world, and maybe like the lost coin of Luke 15. They don't know they're lost. They're confused and weary and scattered. They know they need something. They want to draw from a well that will never run dry. They want their thirst to be quenched by the living water. They want to be fed by the bread of heaven. And they're crying out, "Fill my cup, Lord." We want to see Jesus, they're saying. But unfortunately, many of us are like Philip. Many of us, myself included at times, are like Philip. Remember Philip in John 6, the one who is arguing, "Wow, it's going to take 200 days wages to feed all these people." He was cautious and slow to believe. Well, he exhibits the same attitude in verse 22. Notice what he does. Verse 22, Philip came and told Andrew. Do you notice what Philip is doing here? Philip is calling a board meeting. He's calling a board meeting. We need to ask the church if these people are safe. We need to ask the church to make sure, let's have a business meeting to make sure that these people are safe here at our Adventist church. I'm not sure if they're open to hearing the Adventist message, perhaps not right now. Do they deserve to meet Jesus? They're outside us. They're different than us. But notice what he does. He takes them to Andrew. And I believe that Andrew calls a question on the motion and immediately ends the board meeting. And notice what the Bible says. In turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. Philip comes to Andrew and says, "What do we do with these guys?" And Andrew says, "Oh, come on, let's take them to Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, "What do we do?" And no questions asked. Let's go and bring them to Jesus. When I first began to interact with her at Revelation of Peace, I didn't think she would ever make a decision or come to our church. In fact, I kind of considered her an outsider, I admit, compared to the other contacts we were working with. She certainly wasn't dressed like an Adventist. She was educated and smart. We'll call her Sarah. And Sarah attended most all of the Revelation of Peace meetings in November. She really missed a night. But Sarah never once made a decision to keep the Sabbath. Never once filled out the card online to be baptized or even to give her heart to Jesus. She was quiet and reserved in her responses. And so after the series was finished, the most surprising text message I received was from her. Sarah texted and said, "Pastor, what's the address of your church? I want to attend in person this coming Sabbath." And praise God that Sarah, whom I had considered an outsider, has been attending Arden Hills regularly. We'll see how the Lord leads her. I don't know where she's at right now. But I'm so glad that she finds that Arden Hills a place where she can be administered the gospel cure. Andrew leads his brother to Jesus. He leads a young person to Jesus. He leads outsiders to Jesus. And I think that when John writes this gospel, he intentionally shares these stories involving Andrew. He saw in Andrew someone who was interested in the science of soul saving. Someone who was passionate about witnessing. Maybe a quiet passion, not a loud passion, not the charismatic preacher like his brother, but a persistent, gentle, I love God and I want other people to as well. Sometimes, friends, our society hails the extroverts. We highlight them on TV and talk shows, and sometimes our church does too. The charismatic pastor, the extroverted elder, the loudest person sometimes wins at board meetings. But I believe, friends, that someone who understands the science of redemption and desires to administer its gospel cure to other people doesn't have to be a, hey, look at me, God is awesome type of person. Sometimes we think of evangelism like the story I heard from Dr. Alan Parker. He's a professor at Southern Adventist University. When I was attending there, he shared the story of a time that he asked a friend to wear a shark fin for him on a South African beach. And as his friend went around with his shark fin, people screamed as they got out of the water, and Dr. Parker was yelling, shark, shark! And Dr. Parker suddenly had a crowd in front of him, and he began to preach the gospel. True story. I don't know how many converts he had that day. But sometimes we think that's what soul winning is. Something loud, something public, something passionate. But a soul winner can be a quiet soul winner. Someone who's behind the scenes, daily seeking opportunities to bless other people. Daily seeking opportunities to help and serve people. Daily asking God, God, give me a divine appointment to help someone understand the greatest science of redemption. And the beautiful thing is this, friends, that by administering to others the gospel cure, that you, in fact, yourself, will become more and more vaccinated against the virus. Notice what Acts of the Apostles, page 105, says. She writes this. This has become one of my all-time favorite quotations. Strength to resist evil is best gained by aggressive service. Let me read it again. Acts of the Apostles, page 105. Strength to resist evil is best gained by aggressive service. That we can build immunity against evil by aggressively sharing the gospel. And let me tell you that Andrew Gonzalez right now is strong in his faith, unlike many others who might have drifted away after they made the decision, because he is aggressively sharing his faith with his family. Christ Object Lessons, page 417, we're told the completeness of Christian character is obtained. How many of you want a complete Christian character? I want one. I want a complete Christian character in these last days before Jesus comes. Well, she says the completeness of Christian character is obtained when the impulse to help and bless others springs constantly from within. Wow. Perfect immunity to sin is obtained through helping and blessing other people. There's a Seventh-day Adventist church in Lexington, Kentucky, that sent out 10,000 invitations to homes in the surrounding area for Bible studies. They got hundreds of responses back. At the time when the pastor initiated this, there were only two or three people that were giving Bible studies. But over time, 30 church members got involved with giving Bible studies to the community. And there were over 276 Bible studies that were given. One lady came to the pastor and said, Pastor, I didn't use to come to church, and I don't feel worthy to come to church, and I don't even feel worthy to pray. Moreover, to give a Bible study, but what you're doing is so exciting that I kind of want to be a part of it. The pastor told her, listen, you saying I cannot pray is like me saying I'm sick, I can't go to the hospital. You can't grow unless you work with others, because God doesn't ask you to come to church to be blessed, but to give a blessing to others. The pastor told her, you'll never get a blessing unless you share a blessing. The woman said, well, I'm not worthy to tell them anything. And the pastor said, who said you have to say anything at all? Go to your house, their house, pray with them, put the DVD in their DVD player, here's the guide, read the guide, have a prayer, and go home.
Oh, she said, that's easy.
So the pastor gives her an address of a house that requests Bible studies, and she takes the Bible studies to them, and 5 minutes later, she gives the pastor a call. Oh, pastor, God doesn't count me as worthy. The apartment building is locked. I buzzed the building, and no one came to the door. I'm going to leave. The pastor said, don't you leave. You stay right there. I want you to get in your car and pray until God gives you an answer, and then go back. She said, okay. 5 minutes later, she calls the pastor. I pray, but God didn't answer. I'm going to leave. The pastor tells her, you didn't hear what I said. I want you to stay until you get an answer. Well, what if God doesn't give me an answer, she said. Then I want you to sleep there and wake up there and go to sleep the next night. I want you to stay until you get an answer because God's not going to let you down. And she said, pastor, what if it takes 2 or 3 days? I have a life. And the pastor says, no, you don't. She said, why do you tell me that, pastor? You told me you don't have a life. You said I'm not worthy. I don't have a life. Just pray. I'll go to my office and pray. And I won't go home until I hear from you. So this lady prays and prays and prays. 2.5 hours later, she calls the pastor with enthusiasm and excitement in her voice. Pastor, pastor, you wouldn't believe what happened. I was praying and praying for 1 hour. I kept on saying, Lord, I'm not worthy, but I'm not going to give up. I was praying and praying. And finally, after 1 hour, someone came over to the garbage container outside and I ran to him and said, can you please let me in? I need to go to this lady's apartment and give her a Bible study, she told him. And the man said, no. If she's not home to open the door, I'm not going to open it for you. And besides, I'm angry with you. The lady's taken aback with me. Why? Because I signed up for Bible studies and no one ever gave me one, he said. Well, here, you can take this one, she said. And the man said, come to my apartment. So she goes to this man's apartment. She's scared out of her mind. He tells her to sit down in the apartment and leave. And so she's sitting in this man's apartment by herself, thinking, what is going to happen to me? Lord, protect me. The man comes back 10 minutes later with a whole lot of other neighbors, 7, 8 other neighbors. They all want a Bible study. And the woman begins her Bible study with these words. With a quiver in her voice, she says, I don't know what to tell you. I'm a sinner. My life is horrible. I'm not worthy. I don't know what to tell you, but here's what I have. Here's a DVD and a guide. And the man says, good, because we're sinners too. And if a pastor came, we may not listen. But since you came, we'll listen. They played the DVD and read the guide and afterwards said, what are we supposed to do now? And the lady says, I think I'm supposed to pray for you. And so she prays for them and leaves. And they ask her to come back the next week and the next. And several out of that group get baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Advent Hope, I want to tell you something today. That if God can use that lady, He can use you. That if God can use Andrew the disciple to bring His family members, outsiders, young people to Him, He can use you. That if God can use Andrew Gonzalez to share with his family, that He can use you. I believe, friends, that during this pandemic, COVID-19, that God is giving us so many opportunities. Yes, it's not the same evangelism. Your Bible study might be on Zoom instead of in person. But people are hungry right now for the gospel. They're lonely. They're weary. They're scattered. They're tired, the Bible says. And God is asking us to have compassion on these people across the tracks and say, hey, will you share with them the gospel cure? The gospel is readily available. The vaccinations are readily available. But we need more healthcare workers to administer the benefits, who understand the science of redemption. And I want to give a practical appeal here. That if you want to give a Bible study, I have a whole lot of people. And we don't have anyone to give Bible studies to. If you want to come to Randy and Chantel's baptism, if you want to partner together with evangelism here in San Bernardino County, I invite you right after this service, on that table, there are 2 clipboards. And it says, interest in evangelism. Put your name and your cell phone and email. I'll be in touch with you. And let's work together to administer the gospel cure to our neighbors. Amen. I believe, friends, that that's what God is calling us to in these last days. Will you pray with me? Father, I want to thank you so much
I want to praise you for not leaving us alone. Lord, I want to praise you for not leaving us by ourselves with this deadly virus of sin. Thank you for giving us a cure. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on Calvary's tree for us. And Father, I want to pray that you would please place in my heart compassion for the multitudes. Sometimes I don't have it, Lord, I admit. Sometimes I'm selfish and I choose my schedule instead of yours. But Lord, help us in these last days to be about your business, to be like Andrew the disciple and quietly lead people to Jesus and share with others that great science of your redemption, Lord. That's our prayer, our desire, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you, friends. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Sabbath.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.